So there's a mitzvah in Parshas Kitetze. There's tons of mitzvahs in Parshas Kitetze. One of the mitzvahs is ki karka tzipel hanacha, that if you're walking along and you see a bird's nest, you're not allowed to take the beitzim or afreichim, the chicks or the eggs, while the mother is hovering there. You have to send away the mother, and then you can take the chicks or the eggs. So there's a very... Thank you. There's a very yisaydis tekashayev up that the achreinim... Oops. You got me, Aaron. It's all right, I'm fine. Thank you. Okay, so the Yisaydis Tekashayla that the Achreinim talk about, thank you, is this a mitzvah in the way that lulav and sukkah and shofar are mitzvah, as in a good deed, something that you're supposed to do? If you're walking along and you see a bird's nest and there's a mother and there's eggs, you're supposed to send away the mother so that you can take away the eggs? Or does the Torah just mean to say that if you're walking along and you see a nest with eggs and you want the eggs, you can't take the eggs unless you first send away the mother? Is it primarily an isser that you're not allowed, you're not allowed to take the eggs while the mother is there, and so if you want to take those eggs, the way to be matir that isser, the way to make it mutter, is by sending away the mother? If that's the pshat, then if somebody doesn't want the eggs, then he has no reason to act. There's no reason why he should go around sending away mother birds. Or, right? Exactly, right. A good example of this would be shechita. You know, a person has there's a mitzvah in the Torah of shechita. Does that mean if I'm a farmer and I have 100 behemoths on my farm, I should go out tomorrow and shecht all of them because it's a mitzvah, shechita? Of course not. You can leave your animals alive. There's nothing wrong with that. Just the Torah says that if you want to eat the meat, you have to shecht it first. So similarly over here, if you want to eat these eggs, you have to send away the mother bird first. Or is this a real mitzvah, shalech to shalach hasayim, that you're supposed to do that? If you're walking along and you meet a bird's nest, there's a mitzvah to send away the mother bird. So this is...
The Loshen Ki Kore is implying a happenstance that
you
happen to...
Right, but the Chazal Darshan from there, that means that the mitzvah only applies when it happens b'mikra as opposed to b'mezuman. If it's your bird, it's your nest, right, then you're pater. But that doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't a mitzvah when you come across it.
By the way, is it the eggs of the bird or both? The lashon is selech b'shalach
hasayim. Right, send away the mother. If you don't send away the mother, you're not allowed to take either. You're not allowed to take the offspring or the mother. The of the psukim are a little bit go back and forth. But Lamai said the halacha is that you're not allowed to take either one without doing the shiluach. You're not allowed to take a mother from the nest. You're also not allowed to take the birds.
So you basically can't take the mother because the mother's gonna. You need to send the mother away, or you need to move her away.
Question: Could you just take the mother?
Could you take the mother?
No, you have to send the mother away.
So you can. So you can't take the mother.
Right. So you
can't do that.
Right, you're not allowed to take the mother, and you're not allowed to take the...
If you want the eggs, you can't take the eggs.
But that you can do if you send away the mother.
My Rav says this is not even a mitzvah. He says it's a say, a nitik, a los asay.
He's just coming to fix a los asay. Rav shenitik lasay. So we're going to come to that side. So this is the chakir of the Achreinim. The Chavis Yair is really the first one that presents the Shaila in this way. He was asked, do I have to do shiluach hakein when I come across a town sefer? Do I have to do shiluach hakein, or is it only if I want the eggs? And of course, nowadays this is especially relevant. Once upon a time, and I think this may be why in the Rishonim, although we'll see there are some riots, but it's never really discussed explicitly in Rishonim, because maybe the general assumption was that if you're talking about a nest that's hefker, you come across eggs of a kosher bird, why wouldn't you want them? So usually you would want them, and the Torah says, but you can only take them if you send away the mother. But nowadays, Nowadays, I mean, the eggs that you come across in a nest are not FDA approved, right? Nobody eats things that aren't packaged, that aren't stamped, that aren't tested. We're not foragers. So nowadays, it's almost never relevant in the sense of being mati or taking the eggs or taking the chicks. The only reason anyone would ever do a shiluach hakein is for the mitzvah. So the shaila is, but is there a mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah of shiluach hakein, or is the whole mitzvah of shiluach hakein only to be matir the iser of lesikach eim halabanim? So the Chassam Sofer, I mentioned the Chavis Yar, we'll put the Chavis Yar on hold, skip ahead to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said that one approach to this is to think about the reasons for the mitzvah. If you take a look in the Ramban, in the Parsha, the Ramban, he discusses it. He also quotes from the Rambam, who discusses it. And while they differ a little bit in what they say, but both of them go along the lines of the reason for the mitzvah being that there's cruelty involved in taking the mother and the chicks, or taking the chicks in front of the mother. The Rambam has a very interesting discussion over here in the Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam says that we think that only human beings have a kayach haseichel. That's true. Kayach haseichel is reserved for human beings. But there are certain types of lower order thinking that you don't need such a seichel for. And feelings are in lower order thinking. So parental love for children, the Rambam says, you could have in the animal world also. Anxiety, the Rambam says also, you could have in the animal world also. So that it would get a mother anxious and upset if she sees her children being taken. So that's an achazarius, and the Torah wants to avoid that. So therefore, the Torah says that you send the mother bird away, and then you can take the children. When she comes back, then the nest is going to be empty. So she's not that smart. But the little bit of seichel that she has, we're able to alleviate her tsar, her daiga, by sending her away before we take the beitzim or the banim.
That would sound like the main point is taking the beitzim.
The Chassam Sofer says that if the whole idea is not to be an achzari, right, to show rachamim, so I understand that means that if you want the eggs, here's the nicest way to do it. But if someone doesn't want the eggs, but every time he sees a bird's nest, he just starts going shoo, shoo to the mother, or he starts hitting her to make her fly away, where's the rachmanis in that? If anything, you're just being mitzayer the birds for nothing. So the Chassam Sofer says it seems so ironic that a mitzvah, that the Rishonim explain that the purpose of the mitzvah is to show kindness or to train us in kindness, but the idea has to do with kindness and not being cruel, and the way that it's implemented is just adding cruelty to the animals. That doesn't make any sense. So he says, according to those that explain that the reason has to do with Rachmanas, Achazarias, feelings of the mother, then you'd certainly have to say that it's only a matir for someone that wants the eggs, and it has no relevance to somebody that doesn't want the eggs. There's no mitzvah to go send away the bird.
But if that's the case, why is it only a bird in the wild? And why isn't it on other animals? Why only the bird?
Quick question.
So why just this particular unique case?
So, okay.
It's the same category, but not just an animal.
Right, right. The Rambam and the Rambam both compare it to Yosef Espinoy. Now, your question, I think, is somewhat addressed, or at least reduced, by what the Ramban says on this Rambam. But I don't think we're going to go into that. I mentioned the Rambam and the Ramban; they're a little bit different, but they're a little bit similar. But we're not going to go into that.
Does Shluch kind of apply to chickens or just birds?
So it only chickens
in the wild.
Yeah, chickens in the wild.
I think it's any bird that you don't own.
Perhaps any bird
as
that
far
can
as
fly.
As far as I know.
Yeah. I heard the reason is because it's extinction. It's the same reason like you're not allowed to shecht a lamb and its mother in the same day.
Right. That's what Danny said. It's similar to Yosef Espinoy, right?
Right.
It's related to that. So the Chassam Sofer says, according to the reason that's given in the Rishonim, it would seem to follow that it's not a mitzvah. But there is another reason that we find, and this is in the Zohar. The Zohar gives a completely different window into this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, something that you would have never expected. The Archaim HaKadosh brings it down in the Mekoreh Kedosh Chumash. You can see it over there, that the idea of Shiluach HaKein is that there's, you know, in the Mekubalim, when they talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a lot of different terminology in the Zohar and the Sefer Kabbalah for different, for lack of a better word, maybe aspects of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And one of the terms that's used is the Ima Ila'a, the upper mother, Ima, mother. And it's somehow a description for some aspect of the Shechina Kevayachal of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's over my head. I don't know exactly what it is, but it means in some way to be describing the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what the Zohar Kaddish says is that when you send away the mother and then take her children, and the mother is in tsar and cries out, the crying of the mother bird is, and the feelings of rachamim for her children that you evoke, is ma'oirer the crying of the ima ila'a, and is ma'oirer feelings of rachamim towards her children, meaning Knesset Yisrael, and causes the Shechina to say, oili shehechravti es beisi, that woe that I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Zohar says. It's over my head. I don't understand what, you know, the idea that somehow sending away the mother bird is ma'ir the rachamim of the Shechina. I don't understand the mechanics of how that would work. But what I think we could understand is that according to the Zohar, it's a mitzvah. The Zohar is saying that there's something good about doing Shiluach HaKein. You do Shiluach HaKein, and it's somehow it's makar of the Geula. It's makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu start wishing for the Geula, and that's a good thing. If he's wishing for the Geula, so we're halfway there. So obviously, according to the Zohar, there's a very strong makom to say that it's a mitzvah. So the Chasam Sofer says that it would seem that this Shaila, the Chakir of the Chavis Yair, is it a mitzvah or is it just a matir, is totally on the two reasons. Is it based on the reason given by the Rishenim, we would say it's just a matir. Based on the reason given by the Zohar, we would say that it's a mitzvah. Now, okay, which one, we won't say which one is right. Both of them have sources in Svarim HaKadoshim. Which one do we follow? So the Zohar obviously is an older source than the Rambam, the Ramban. This comes from Chazal. But on the other hand, we're not finding in the Gemara, is there any indication which way the Gemara held? So Chasam Sofer says that although there's no Gemara that weighs in directly on what's the reason for the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein, but he has a raya from the following. There's an interesting line of Gemara which you would have never dreamt to connect to this Shaila, but the Chasam Sofer is a very geshmaka, very clever connection.
Is that a Torah, Chasam
Sofer? No, this Chasam Sofer is in a tshuva in Arachayim Simen Kuf. In his child's tshuvas.
The mitzvah is not listed in the Rambam's list.
It is. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. Yeah. It is. But that's not a raya that it's more than a matir. It could be, I mean, it's listed, if I'm not mistaken, as a laisasa and as an assay. But the assay, I mean, like you said before, lav hanitik laassay, the assay, at the very least, is coming to be menatik the lav after one was over it, and could also be an assay to be matir before you do it. Well, the fact that it's a mitzvah doesn't prove that it's a mitzvah in the sense of a good deed. The mission at the beginning of Perek Shiluach HaKein. There's a Perek, the last Perek of Chulin. It's called Shiluach HaKein. It's a very short Perek. And I'll mention, just to give a little bit of context, there are a number of prakim in Maseches Chulin where the title of the Perek refers to a mitzvah, and that whole Perek is all about that mitzvah. And it gives you everything you need to know about that mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. There's a Perek called Shiluach HaKein. There's a Perek called Kisui Adam. There's a Perek called Oisev Espinoi. There's a parak called Rishus HaGez. And each of these, the Mishnayos, the Gemara, and that parak, talk all about that mitzvah. Each of those parakim start with a similar Mishnah in which it gives a certain checklist of where and when this mitzvah is noyeg. And it says about each of these mitzvahs, it's noyeg b'fnei abayis v'shaloi b'fnei abayis. Whether the Beis HaMikdash is standing or whether the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, it's noyeg either way. Now, the Gemara says at the beginning of Perek Shiluach HaKein that to say that Shiluach HaKein is noyeg b'fnei abayis or shloim b'fnei abayis is a mishnah she'ina tzvicha. There's no need for that. What havamin would you have to limit it to one or the other? It should only be b'zman shebayis mitzrayim. It's not kodshim, it's not zrayim. Why would anyone have such a havamin to limit it? So the Gemara says, true, it's a mishnah she'ina tzvicha, but it's part of this set. You have this mishnah by Shiluach HaKein, you have this mishnah by Reishis HaGez, you have this mishnah by Kisui Adam, By Kisi Adam, there's a chedosh. I think the Gemara says because Kisi Adam, the mitzvah is written in the context of Kachim, so you might have thought that it only applies B'fnei Abaye. So over there, it's a chedosh, and Agav that it said it over there, it said it by the other ones also. But it's not a chedosh by Shluach HaKein. So Chacham Sofer says, here I have a Gemara that says that the B'fnei, the line about Shluach HaKein being noig B'fnei Abaye and Shluach B'fnei Abaye is a Mishnah Shein HaSvicha.
If it's the Rachman,
it's the opposite. Oh, right, very good. So that's both of you. That's what Chassam Sefer says. The Chassam Sefer says, when the lashon of the Zohar Kadesh is that the purpose of Shiluach HaKein is to be Ma'irer, the Ima Ilah, the Shechina, to start saying, Oili Shechravti Es Beisi. So I don't understand. What the Hanicha is Man Hazeh, right? We're in Golas. So we want to, that the Oili Shechravti Es Beisi. It would seem that that mitzvah actually has no place whatsoever in the time of Shabbat, in the times that the basic mitzvah is standing. Right. So you know, you could start it. It's kasha stamos. How could the Zohar give such a reason? It doesn't make any sense in the times of the basic mitzvah. But the Chassam Sofer, it's not really a kasha, because even if the terminology of Oili Shechravti Es Beisi is only relevant bisman ein basic mitzvah kaim bisman hagolos, but the idea of wanting to be ma'ira rachamim. You always need more rachamim. I mean, even when the Beis Hamikdash was standing and times were good, but, you know, there were always problems and there were people that had it bad and people needed rachmanis individually and as a klal. And the idea that you want to be ma'ir rachmi shemayim, okay, that could make sense even in Bezman Shabbos Hamikdash Kaim, but it's still a bigger chiddush, right, isn't it? Meaning it certainly makes much more sense in Bezman She'im Beis Hamikdash Kaim. And Bezman Shabbos Hamikdash Kayim, it's a bigger chiddush, it's more surprising that the mitzvah is noyeg. So if the Mishnah tells us that it's noyeg b'fnei abayis and shalei b'fnei abayis, I would say it's a big chiddush. Not like you would have expected that the chiddush, by some mitzvahs, the chiddush would be that it's noyeg b'zman Shabbos Hamikdash Kayim. Over here, the chiddush is that it's noyeg b'zman Shabbos Hamikdash Kayim. But like upon him, there's a chiddush. Why does the Gemara say that it's the Mishnah she'ein etzricha? It must be because the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, doesn't hold like the Zohar. Doesn't hold like the Zohar, it holds of the reasons given by the Rishonim that has to do with the Rachmanis and Achzaris, and then there's no difference to differentiate between Zman Shabbos and Mikdashkayim, Zman Shayim and Mikdashkayim. But had it held like the Zohar, it wouldn't have called this Mishnah a Mishnah Shein Etzricha. So based on that, Zakta Chassam Sofer, I'm convinced that the Talmud Bavli held that the Ikar reason is the reason given by the Rishonim, not like the Zohar, and we said the Nafkamina is that according to the Rishonim, it's not going to be a mitzvah, it's only a matir, because if it's all about Rachmanis, so the Torah is not going to have us go and do something that's actually an achzarius. And so based on that, the Chassam Sofer seems ready to paskin that it's really not a mitzvah. That there's no reason to go around sending away mother birds any more than there's a mitzvah to go around shechting animals. It's only if you want to take the beitz and ma'ayah freichim, then there'd be a mitzvah to send away the mother bird.
If it's not a mitzvah, why is the schar so great?
That's a good question. What do you mean the schar is so great? Because the Torah says, V'harachta yamim. Right. The Torah says, V'harachta yamim.
Only that in Kippudah Vein. That's true.
True. It's a great ha'ara. The Chassam Sofer, and I think the Chavos Yair also, if I'm not mistaken, as a matter of fact, I don't know if I saw anybody that made this connection to, you know, use this as a riot to this shayla, but to me, it sounds like a good argument that if the Torah says v'harachta yomim, that certainly seems to make more sense in the context of a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It's not a raya, really. You could have harachta yomim legabi yisurim also. The Torah says that this, you know, I don't want you to send away a mother bird. I don't want you to take away the chicks from a mother bird. If you want those chicks, you better send away the mother bird. And if you follow these instructions, for that v'harachta yamim. Follow these instructions, meaning not do it the wrong way, for that v'harachta yamim. It could be. But it makes more sense. The v'harachta yamim makes more sense, I think. It's at least less surprising if it's a real mitzvah in the way that Shofar and Lulav and Kibbutz Aveim is a real mitzvah. Yeah, I think that's a very good ha'ara. The Chassam Sofer, based on...
I want to show the importance of being a
okay, right. That as a result of the not being an achzari, you'll be zeichet to avichas yomim. Yeah, could be.
There's no bracha.
That's a good shayla. There's a machlekes about that. We're going to come to that. That's going to tie into this question that we're discussing. So the Chassam Sofer, He says that he thinks his lashon is, you know, Chassam Sefer would never say, so okay, so we don't hold like the Zayar, the Zayar's reason is wrong. The way the Chassam Sefer says it is that if the Talmud Bavli holds not like that, so on this we say, Hanistareis Lashem Alekeinu, Vahaniglas Lanu Levanenu Adoylam. That the reasons given in the Zayar, okay, that's for the British Lanu, but when it comes to Paskening Shailis, we have to go with what's Nigla, and based on the Teres Hanigla, there's no reason to view it as a mitzvah. It should really be viewed as a matir. And he says, therefore, that's the way he wants to pass it. That it should be viewed as a matir. Mm-hmm. What's a little bit unclear, though, is I'm not sure how convinced, how certain the Chassam Sefer is about this bottom line. And I'll tell you why. The tshuva, I mentioned that this is a tshuva in his chelek on Arachayim Simen Kuf. Now, why is it an Arachayim? It's a tshuva about Shluch HaKen. Shluch HaKen is in Yerideya. Why is this tshuva in Arachayim? Because although the whole length of the tshuva is really just talking, you know, discussing, read about Shluch HaKen, but the actual shayla was a Hilchos Shabbos shayla. The shayla was, are you allowed to do Shluch HaKen on Shabbos? That's what somebody asked him. So it was a Hilchos Shabbos shayla. So it's in Arachayim. Now, part of, you know, one of the factors that was relevant was this discussion that we were just having. Another, then there's two other factors that he felt were very relevant.
What was the kasha? What's
the avail?
Yeah, wouldn't there be a moksa? It's moksa, no?
So, okay. So it's making a good, ha'ara.
Right.
So you'll hear, because we'll speak through what should be the tzad not to do it on Shabbos. So he said, so one tzad that he comes up with is like this. This is very, very creative. He says, according to the Zohar, of course you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. You don't say tachanun on Shabbos.
Right.
Like the Sam Sefer. We don't, the things that we do to be ma'ir, the bechia, right, to be ma'ir, the bechia of the ima ilah, we stay away from such things on Shabbos. So he says, avada, according to the so the time of the Zayir, you wouldn't do it on Shabbos. Now, I mean, I mentioned he didn't mention Tachlan. I'm mentioning that, but I just wonder, would the Chassam Sefer say by the same token that according to the Zayir, you wouldn't do Shuluch HaKein, but Yamim She'inam by Tachlan? And then, you know, how broadly do you apply that?
I just saw over Shabbos that there's a Pi Kabbalah,
yeah,
not to do Shuluch HaKein on a Shemitah year. Not to do Shuluch HaKein on the whole Shemitah year. Someone asked him, Riyash, of this.
Yeah.
Now, Riyash was, Edwin Biakov Hillel is quoting this, and he's in the Kabbalah.
Yeah.
He said that if you know all the Kabbalah Kavanis and do Shulch HaKan, then you don't do it during Shemitah year. But for everyone else, basically he said...
That's what Rav Yashiv said?
Rav Yaakov Hillel.
Oh, that's what Rav Yaakov Hillel said.
What
did Rav Yashiv say?
Rav Yashiv said that there was a story, and as was telling this woman, she whatever child came to, she always asked her off. But those most basic things, so it was a nest by her thing, and she said she has a feeling she shouldn't do it. She wants to ask her before she does it. So she went to Simcha Ben Amal, the Merkel Zerov as a Torah, and he said, you won't believe it, for the first time, right before he walked in, I saw this Mar Mokum, the Shita, not to do Shluch HaKan during Shemitah year. At the end, he passed him, she should do it. But he said that the reason was, since, you know, her son came with her and said, what are you asking, Shaila? It's Shluch HaKan, you're supposed to do it. I said, no, I have a feeling that maybe this, I should be doing it.
Okay, but based on what we're talking about now, I mean, I would say another pshat in her shayla. Maybe you shouldn't do it if you don't want
because
the eggs.
Want, yeah.
Right.
What does that have to do with Shemitah?
I don't know, it's the only Kabbalah thing.
Okay, so that's one factor that the Chassam Sefer brings in is that... What did you say?
My name is Shemitah.
Very good.
One factor that the Chassam Sefer brings in is that according to the Zohar, you can't do it on Shabbos because we're not Ma'ir B'chia on Shabbos. Okay, what about according to the others? So... So this schedule we were just discussing, how do you do Shuluch HaKein? You're supposed to send away the motherboard. How do you send it away? So the Chassam Sefer says that there's a machlokes Rambam and Rashi about this. The Chassam Sefer is medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that being mishaleach the mother means picking her up and pushing her or throwing her, but bodily removing and sending away the motherboard. And Rashi argues, Rashi's mefurish, that just scaring her away, making a noise or something that causing her to fly away, that's enough. But according to the Rambam, the Chassam Sefer is medayik in the Rambam that it means dafka using your hands to do it. Incidentally, the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Chasam Sofer's diuk, and the Rambam, the Chazon Ish holds that there's no such shita. Nobody holds that you have to use your hands. But what we're saying over the Chasam Sofer is working with the understanding that there's a machlokes rishonim whether it needs hands. So, okay, what? So
what? He said a bird in the hand.
So the Chasam Sofer says, according to the Rambam, of course he can't do it on Shabbos, because he says that it's probably tzeda. You have a bird that's sitting there on her nest, and you sneak up on her and you grab her, so you just trapped a bird. It's a malacha. He says it could even be a chiyav chatas. Then going into some details that are beyond the scope of our discussion, but something that's already if it's not mechusar tzeda, so then maybe it wouldn't be tzeda. But he says, but there's also a muktzah issue. To handle live animals is an iser muktzah. So according to the Rambam, you're for sure not allowed to do shiluch hakein. Meaning, the Chasam Sofer is saying, you can't do shiluch hakein on Shabbos the way you would have done it during the week. Because if you would ask me how to do it on Sunday or Monday, I would tell you that you should use your hands. Because even though Rashi holds you don't have to, but you want to be yaitzeh l'chol ha'deis, you want to be yaitzeh according to the Rambam, so you should use your hands. I would tell you that any other day of the week, you should use your hands. On Shabbos, you for sure can't use your hands. It could be a malacha deraisa, or at least an esedra abanon, and you for sure not allowed to use your hands. So then your whole shaila is, can I do shiluach hakein without using my hands? And be yaitzeh according to Rashi. In a way that I'm only being yaitzeh according to one shita, but not the other shita. So considering that you want to do the mitzvah in a way that there's a suffix, whether you're even being yaitzeh deichev asai. And on the tzad, you're not being yaitzeh deichev asai, you have this problem that it's cruelty to animals, that you're being misachzer for nothing if you're not being yaitzeh. So he says, so he has an interesting lashon. He says that hamischased bazeh ein ruach chachamim noicha haymenu. If somebody says, "Oh, but I want to be yaitzeh every possibility, so I'll do it today because at least according to Rashi, I'll be yaitzeh." Do me a favor, just leave the bird alone because it's just as charei behav seida. There's a chance that you're not getting the mitzvah and you're just being doing the cruelty. So therefore, he says, don't do it on Shabbos. But now,
according to some sort of understanding of the Rambam, so if you go near the bird and it just flies away, so you can't, it's also
right. Then you lost the mitzvah.
And you can't take it?
No, it's not also to take it because now the aim is not revetzes anymore.
But don't you have to send it away?
You have to send it away if the aim is revetzes
alav reichem. You don't have the mitzvah.
If you go to a nest that has eggs and no bird, then there's nothing wrong with taking the eggs. So if the bird flew away on its own, then you have the heter, but you wouldn't have the mitzvah.
Wouldn't taste as good.
So the Chasam Sofer, that's the bottom line of his tshuva, because again, he was asked about doing it on Shabbos. So his bottom line is don't do it on Shabbos, because since it's a machlokes whether you're being yaitzeh, you're not being yaitzeh, and there's a chance that you're being misachzer, so don't do it. Now, according to with this person that's coming to take it on, that's asking about doing shiluach hakein on Shabbos, what did he want? He was going to take the chicks are muktzah. He wasn't taking those. The eggs, you can't cook them on Shabbos. What was he going to do with the eggs? You can't cook unless he was going to eat it raw. I don't know. I would think that it's most likely that the person that's asking about doing it on Shabbos, what meant if he wants to do it for the mitzvah. He doesn't need the chicks. He doesn't need the eggs. On Shabbos, he's not taking anything. It's most mistaber, I think.
Can't be anything else.
What? Right, because of the muktzah issues, the muktzah and the malacha issues. So I don't know if I would say it can't be. I mean, what if he wants to take the eggs, not for the purpose of eating? He wants to take the eggs to add to his egg collection. I don't know, or to put it in the refrigerator for tomorrow.
Or you could take the eggs once.
You're allowed to take them on Shabbos?
Take the eggs
once.
Put in your refrigerator?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm agreeing with you though that it seems very unlikely that he has that on Shabbos he's walking along and he sees the Freitzim or Beichem and he says, oh, I need those Freitzim or Beitzim. It's most likely that his Shaila was about doing it L'shem Mitzvah. But the Chasam Sofer only said you shouldn't do it because according to the Rambam, you're not going to be Yaitzeh and now Now it's not kedai to get involved in this suffix and being misachzer on the bird when there's a tzad that you're not going to be yitzei. But why didn't you say that stam is not being yitzei according to the Rambam, but also the fact that according to what he decided was the Talmud Bavli's position that there is no mitzvah. If there is no mitzvah, so what would you do it for? And he's just being misachzer any day of the week. He's just being misachzer if there's no mitzvah. I get the impression from this ending of the tshuva that even though he really held that the ikur is that there's no mitzvah when you don't want the eggs, but he wouldn't tell somebody not to do it. Because there is seif kol seif, a possibility based on the Zayar. We're going to see as we go on, there's maybe even be a gemara that sounds like this a little bit. There is a possibility that there's a mitzvah. So for that possibility, maybe he would have said, yeah, it's kedai, you might as well. But only when it came to Shabbos, he was saying that you shouldn't. So I'm not sure, halacha l'maisa, bottom line, again, when we have this shaila, is there any inyan, is there any reason? That's really the question that we began with. I'm walking along and I see a kansipa, or as is more often the case, somebody comes into shul and he says, on my block there's a kansipa, everybody come and do shul hakein. So is there any reason to go and do it? So the Chassam Sefer, he, in the middle of his tshuva, he sounds like he was saying, no, there's no reason to go do it. Yeah, the Zayar, yeah, but we don't hold like the Zayar. But from the ending, it sounds like if it wasn't Shabbos, he would have said yes. So even though it was a case of where he didn't need the Ephraim or the Beitzim. So what's his actual shita bottom line? Even again, he's clear that he holds the Iker is that it's just a matir. But would he recommend doing it anyway because of the small tzad that there's a mitzvah? It could be that he would. So I'm not so clear. What's the bottom line of the Chassam Sefer on that? Al Kaponim, continuing though, again, we started with the Chassam Sefer, that's a relatively late tshuva. Moving backwards, are there any Mekaris and Rishonim to this shaila of whether the Shluch Kehne is a mitzvah or is it just a matir for somebody that wants to frechem with the Beitzim? So there's one pretty direct Mekar in the Rishonim at the beginning of Parashat Shluch Kehne. There's a Gemara, it's a funny Gemara. The case of the Gemara is, Oif tahar shaharages anefesh. And this is referring to, you know, we all know in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah talks about, so, you know, if you have a shar muad that goes and kills somebody, so that shar has to be put to death. Right? Even if it's a shar that goes and kills somebody, so such a shar has to be put to death. It's called a shar anisko. You bring it to Beis and Beis and kills them. Now, the Torah talked about a shur because Dibar Kasav Bahiva. But any animal, if my dog, if I have a pit bull and the pit bull kills somebody, so that animal also has to be put to death. Now, you know, certain animals are easier to imagine than others. How does a pet bird go, you know, I have a pet dove. How could it possibly go and kill somebody? I'm not sure. I think passing along bird flu is probably just a grumma. So the tzir is maybe an unlikely story. But the Gemara talks about such a case. You have an oif tahar, and it was haragas and nefesh, so it's chayav misa. So now I have a bird. This bird is wanted. Beis Din has a job. They're supposed to kill the bird. Meanwhile, I'm walking along. I come across a nest with this bird. I recognize the bird from the wanted poster. But the bird is sitting on top of some eggs, very geshmaka eggs. I want the eggs. So now I have a mitzvah. On the one hand, there's a mitzvah shulach hakein, send the bird away. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah v'yarta haram mikerbecha, that you're supposed to be part of Beis Din's police force, that if you find the convict, you bring him to Beis Din. So I don't send him away, bring him to Beis Din. So there's a conflict here, and the Gemara says, you don't do shulach hakein on such a bird. You're not allowed to send this bird away because you have to be mekayim v'yarta haram mikerbecha.
Shulach hakein b'dafka sending it away, or is it if you took it from here and took it down a block away and put it down, or just took it away from the nest?
I don't know. If you took it and removed it, you put it somewhere where it's under your control.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. Is it removing it from the nest?
I see why you're asking that. I think it can be right. I understand. No, but I think that it is taka shiluach, that it has to be sent free. This is the Ran's kasha. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says that you don't do shiluach over here because uviyarta haram mikirbecha overrides it. This bird is wanted, so you can't send the bird away. Frek the Ran kasha. Okay, there's a mitzvah uviyarta haram mikirbecha, but there's also a mitzvah shiluach hakein. And the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein is actually stronger because it involves a loisasa and an asay. So why don't we say that Shiluach HaKein is greater, it's stronger, and it's doicha uviyat rabbi mikabecha? Why did the Gemara say you can't do Shiluach HaKein because you have to do uviyat rabbi mikabecha? Why don't we say the opposite? You can't do uviyat rabbi mikabecha because you have to do Shiluach HaKein. Let this be doicha because it's stronger. So the Ran says that Shiluach HaKein is not a mitzvah that could be doicha anything because it's not a real mitzvah. You only do Shiluach HaKein if you want the eggs. If you don't want the eggs, then there's no mitzvah. A mitzvah like that doesn't have a koyach to be doicha anything. So in those words, in the teretz of the Ran, he is directly and explicitly addressing this shaila, this hakir of the Chavis Yar, of the Chassam Sofer, and he's saying clearly that it's not really a mitzvah, it's just a matir. So it's, meaning it's only talking to someone that wants the eggs. Now, there's also a discussion in Rishonim that will have bearing on this shaila. The Rishonim, somebody mentioned this question before, is there a bracha on Shiluach HaKein? So the number one address for all questions that begin with, is there a bracha on? There's a tshuva, a very old tshuva that's quoted in many of the Rishonim that goes through a lot of mitzvahs and tries to discuss which mitzvahs do have a bracha, which mitzvahs don't have a bracha. It's sometimes quoted as a Tshuvas HaRashba because it accidentally got printed together with the Tshuvas HaRashba. It's included in sets of Tshuvas HaRashba. But this Tshuva is not really from the Rashba. It's really a much older Tshuva. And the author is Rav Yosef Ibn Plat. Not a household name, not a brand name Rishon, but he was his claim to fame is that he was the Rebbe of the Ravid. So he was a Chashav Talmud Chacham. And he wrote a Tshuva on this topic, going through many, many mitzvahs and discussing how come certain mitzvahs do have a bracha and certain mitzvahs don't have a bracha. And it's a nice marimak. This is a tshuva that gets quoted in many, many different contexts because it talks about so many different mitzvahs. So one of the small paragraphs in that tshuva, he talks about Shiluach HaKein. And he says, there's no bracha on Shiluach HaKein. And why is there no bracha on Shiluach HaKein? So he says something that's a little bit hard to follow. He says, because you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that's just coming to fix an aveira. Just like we don't make a bracha on Hashavas Gezela. The Torah says, if you steal something, you have to return it. There's also a mitzvah of Chazaras Ribis, that if you take interest from a loiva, a mal that takes interest from a loiva, the Torah says you have to give it back. There's a discussion in the Gemara where the Beit Din enforces that, but there's a mitzvah to give back the ribis. These mitzvahs don't have a bracha. Brachas are for good things, but for bad things, meaning things that you're just doing to correct your wrong, there's no bracha on such mitzvahs.
Taking the arla, you're correcting the fact that...
No, you're not correcting your aveira, though. These are examples where you're correcting your aveira. You know, the ribis and the gezela.
Anything that's not correcting an aveira, you do get a bracha?
Right. Yeah. There are other categories of things that don't, but that's why the tshuva is so long. But one of his rules is that you won't make a bracha on any mitzvah that's just coming to correct an aveira. And he says, and Shiluach HaKein, you took the mother and the babies illegally, and then like you said before, as a lav anitik lase, the Torah says if you violated the lav, so now the way that you fix it and avoid getting malchus is by sending away the mother bird. But that's just a mitzvah that you're doing to fix your aveira. It's like Hashavas Gezela, there's no bracha on that. That's what it says in the Tshuva of the Rebbe and Plat. Very, very hard to understand because that's not the whole mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. That's the end of it. That's, you know, if you did it wrong, then the way to fix it is with Shiluach HaKein. But isn't there also on the front end, if somebody's walking along and he sees a nest, there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Certainly, at least if he wants to take the eggs, maybe even if he doesn't want to take the eggs, but the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein is not only for someone that already took the mother with the that already took the mother. The mitzvah is also for someone that didn't take anything yet, and the Torah says you should send away the mother. So why don't you make a bracha in that scenario? The Rebbe Plat says there's no bracha on Shiluach HaKein, and then he only addressed one of the two scenarios. So in the tshuva from the Dvar Avram, that's the Kovna Rav, who was killed in the Kovna ghetto in World War II. He has a tshuva on a very long tshuva that covers many topics, but Pesach HaDvarim, he is in Chelek Beis, in Ches, he addresses this problem in this tshuva of the Rebbe Plat, and he says that he thinks that the solution is simple. When the Rebbe Plat was addressing the question of, do you make a bracha on Shiluach HaKein, of course there are two scenarios. There's on the front end, you see a kantzipar and you shulach again, and then there's on the back end, you already took it illegally, now you have to fix it with shulach again. But he never even had a havamina to make a bracha on what we're calling the front end of mitzvah, because there, the Torah never told you to do it. Over there, it's just to be matir taking the freichim if you want them. So on that, of course, there's no bracha. There's only a bracha when the Torah says to do it. Asher ketchanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu. If there's a tzivoy, then there's a bracha. If there's no tzivoy, there's no bracha. So when is there a tzivoy of shiluach hakein? The only time that there's a tzivoy is if you already took the birds illegally, you weren't supposed to. Now the Torah says you better send away that mother, otherwise you're going to get malchus. So here you have an obligation, you have a commandment to send away the mother bird. That's where there's a havamina, maybe you should make a bracha. To that he said, he gave a very nice teretz. He said, no, there's no bracha because it's just coming to fix an aveira. But the front end of shiluach hakein, where you haven't done anything wrong, and now you're just sending away the mother bird, so that you could take the afreichem ayavetzim if you want them, on that, of course, there's no bracha because there's no commandment, there's no obligation to do it, and there's never a bracha on things that don't have an obligation.
Once you took it, what's the point of sending it away?
Because it
once you took it, what's the point of sending the mother away?
That spares you from the malchus. You won't get malchus.
What's the point of sending the mother away?
That's what the Torah says to do.
The Torah
says
to
do.
How do you correct it?
How are you correcting it? You took it.
The Torah tells you to tell
you. Well, according to the Talmud of the Zohar.
I hear.
No, it's a good hara. It's a good hara.
You took it already.
This probably makes more sense, Lafi the Zohar, than it does according to the reasons of the Rishonim. That's a very good hara.
Right. You don't make a bracha in Shechita? There's no bracha.
Oh, that's a Gevaldik Akasha on this whole thing of the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram is saying, you know, let me put that on hold for 1 second. The Dvar Avram, in explaining the Reuben plot, again, to make sense out of the Reuben plot, he has to say that there was never a Havamina to make a bracha on the Lechatchila Dikash Lechakein, because that's only a Matir. The Havamina was only on the, after you were over the Leitzas, and on that he gave a Teretz that it's just coming to fix an Adera. Now, so according to this reading of the Tshuva, clearly this old Tshuva from the Reuben plot is on the side of the Ran and the Chassam Sofer, that it's not a real mitzvah, it's just a Matir. Now, you're asking very well that how could he say that there's no havamina to make a bracha on the front end because it's not a real mitzvah, it's just a matir. Shechita is also a matir, and yet we make a bracha on shechita.
So,
Berachas Ha'erusin. Berachas Ha'erusin. Okay, yeah, there's a very extensive discussion about that. Shechita, the truth is, also has this discussion about this shaila. Mefarshim talk about this unusual situation that we make a bracha on shechita, even though l'cheir it's only a matir. But I'll just tell you, this is all I'm saying over from the Dvar Avram. He has an interesting chiddush on this. The Dvar Avram says that really we wouldn't make a bracha on shechita. On shechitas, you know, shechita really has two mitzvahs. There's shechitas chulin and shechitas kachim. Shechitas chulin really on its own standing would not merit a bracha. The reason why we make a bracha on shechita is because there's also such a thing as shechitas kachim. And shechitas kachim is a real mitzvah. The Torah says when you bring an animal, a carbon, one of the things they have to do with it is to shecht it. So that's a real mitzvah. That gets a bracha. Once there's already a bracha for shechitas kachim, so sort of ID that there's a bracha for shechitas kachim, there's also a bracha for shechitas chulin. But Chazal would never be misaking a bracha for something which is not a real mitzvah, it's just a matya. And therefore the shiluach hakein wouldn't get a bracha since it's just to be matir, the taking of the afreichim. The only time there's even a havamina that we get a bracha is when it's coming to be misaken in the leisasa. And on that, the Reuben Platt says that there's no bracha on that's coming to be misaken in the leisasa.
Say, I need there too.
I at the back end. But yeah, so had we not had a principle
of
right.
What about all berachas anenin?
Berachas anenin or berachas anenin?
In other words, you're not.
Yeah, but there's a berachas anenin. Berachas anenin have a whole different purpose than berachas mitzvah. Yeah, berachas anenin are certainly a matir. Yeah.
What about schar mitzvah b'haya al meleka? Yeah. The Torah says,
The Gemara in Kedushin asks this very question from this case, right, from the Shluach HaKein.
Really?
It's Kedushin Daf Mem, I think. Or either Lamed Tes or Daf Mem, Ayin Sham. So that's the truth of the Reuben Plot, which is L'Cheir, a second Makarin Rishonim to this side. And there's also Tshuvas HaRashba. Interestingly, the Tshuvas HaRashba actually argues on the truth of the Reuben plat and holds that you do make a bracha. Halacha might do make a bracha on Shiloh HaKein. So I think the accepted practice is that we don't make a bracha, but the reason that, the way it's explained is because since it's a machalikas ha-paiskim, so suffic brachas lahakel. But there is a machalikas rishayim, and the Rashba holds that we do make a bracha. But he writes a tshuva about it, and what's in the tshuva, he says like this, I'm sure we should make a bracha, but I'm not sure how to formulate the bracha. And the dilemma is this, usually brachas are always formulated in a positive way.
Yeah.
Thing, although somebody just mentioned before the bracha Berachas Ha'erizin, Berachas Ha'erizin is the one notable exception, and in this Tshuvas HaRashba he discusses what's unique about Berachas Ha'erizin. Berachas Ha'erizin we say Shekashan Mosei Sivanu Al Ha'arayas, right, which is really a tzivoy on an iser. But ordinarily we don't make brachas on Yisurim, we only make brachas on mitzvahs. It's like the Rashba, but when it comes to Shiluach HaKein, where the ikar of the mitzvah is the iser, so how do you formulate such a bracha? And that's what he grapples with. And again, Vayin Shom, I don't really think he quite reaches a clear bottom line. But you see that he's bothered by the dilemma of how do you formulate a bracha on Shiluach HaKein, considering that the ikar of this mitzvah is the iser. But from that Rashba, again, you see that he understood that the ikar of the mitzvah is the iser. That means that the mitzvah is really just coming to be matir, someone that wants to take that for Echamah the Beitzim. But it's not a mitzvah that you should dafka go around being Mishalei Echas HaKein. So you have the Rashba, you have the Reb and Plat, and the Chiddush Ha'aran that all say that there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. And what's striking is that the Rashba and the Reb and Plat are on two opposite sides of the debate about the bracha. But from both of them, we see that they held that it's not a real mitzvah; it's just a matir.
Mm-hmm.
So far we've really been, I guess, just piling on to one side of the debate, mm-hmm. that there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. So why is it that so many people obviously seem to think that there is a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, right? You've probably seen pictures of Gedali Yisrael going to Mekayim Shiluach HaKein, and sometimes signs go up in very Haredi neighborhoods Shiluach HaKein opportunities, and people line up and try to come and be Mekayim it. So, okay, but if the mitzvah is only for someone that wants the Frechim of the Beitzim, then the Arichas Yom should also only be for someone that wants the Frechim of the Beitzim and then follows these instructions.
Arichas Yom is only as a result of Leman Yitav Loch V'Arachto Yom. It's good for you to have a life of Rachmanes of Bnei Rachmanim. Then Memele,
Okay.
It's a Balbatish.
So, but there is one Gemara in Parak Shiluach HaKein which seems to be a strong raya to the other tzad. The Gemara says, this is on Kuflam and Chesam and Beis. The Gemara says, Yochel, one might think, Yachzer Achrav Baharim Uvagvais, that a person should go in search of a Shiluach HaKein, he should go into the woods, into the wild, to look for a Kansipar so they could do Shiluach HaKein. Talmud Leimar Ki Kare. No, the Torah says Ki Kare, it's only if you happen upon it, and it's not. There's no mitzvah to go be mechazer acharav. Now, this havamina that you should go in search of Shiluach HaKein, this havamina l'chera only makes sense if it's a mitzvah. If the idea is that it's just a way to, it's just a legal way to get afreichim, so why would there be a havamina that the Torah wants me to look for afreichim for my breakfast? If I want the Afreichim, I'll look for Afreichim. If I don't want Afreichim, I won't look for Afreichim. Yochel Yachz Rachav Baharim Uvigvais clearly is assuming that it's a mitzvah. Now, true, it's only a Havamina, but what's the, when the Gemara says, no, Tamalami Ki Yikare, so the Chavis Yair is one that brings this Gemara, he says, what's the Talmud Lomar? Talmud Lomar Ki Yikare, the mitzvah is not to go looking for it in a mountain, the mitzvah is only when you come across it. But what the mitzvah is didn't change from the Havamina to the Maskana. If I have a raya from the Havamina that it's a real mitzvah, that you're supposed to do Shiluach HaKein, so much so that maybe you should even go looking for one, then even after the Torah tells us that you don't have to go looking for it, but that doesn't change what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is still that you're supposed to do Shiluach HaKein. We're just limiting it that you're only supposed to do it when you come across it in the road. But that means that when you come across it in the road, you're supposed to do a Shiluach HaKein. The Chavis Yair says that this is a very strong raya, and he proves, based on this Gemara, he paskins that it's a real mitzvah. That's the opinion of the Chavis Yair. And I said that yes, even if you don't want the Frechem of the Beitzim, somebody that sees the Kansipa are supposed to send away the mother bird. And he says it based on this Gemara that had a Havamina of Yachal Yachzer Acharav Bahar Muvasades, Bahar Muvagvais.
Well, I can't say this is exactly the question and answer, is exactly this computer.
So, that's exactly how the Chasam Sofer gets out of the Raya. Very good. Wow. The Chasam Sofer. But I think it should be acknowledged that that's a more Mechudosh Tikkun reading of the Gemara, because the rule we usually try to follow when we're learning a piece of Gemara is you see what assumptions the Havamina made, and then if something changes in the Maskana, we try to limit, you know, whatever is Muchach that changed, and whatever is not Muchach that changed, we're still remaining with the assumption of the Havamina. All we see is that the Maskana told us you don't have to go into the Haram Mugvois for it. You only do it when you come across it. But what it is that the Torah wants me to do when I come across it should be the same as we thought in the Havamina. If in the Havamina we thought that it's a real mitzvah, then in the Maskana it should also be a real mitzvah. That was the thinking of the Chavis Yar. But the Chasam Sofer rejects his raya exactly like you're saying. And Chasam Sofer says that even if maybe the Chavis Yar's reading might have been the best reading of that Gemara, but since there are other Gemaras that indicate not like that, okay, I didn't mention the other Gemaras that the Chasam Sofer brings. I just mentioned the Chasam Sofer said based on the reasons given by the Rishonim. But there are other Gemaras, which I don't think we'll get to, but there are a couple of other Rayas that the Chasam Sofer thinks that the Iker is that it's not really a mitzvah. So for this Gemara, he says, as you just said, that you have to learn that all goes into the Talmud Lomiki Kari Kan Sipar. And the Pshat is, actually this, if I'm not mistaken, this Chasam Sofer that I'm saying over now is not part of the Tshuva. This is in the Chidush Chasam Sofer on that Gemara. Schulin Kuf Lamates. That's where you can find this. The Chasam Sofer says that the way that you'll learn the Talmud Leimar is that, Salkadai Techamino, or Yochel, you might have thought, Yachzorav Achav Baharam of Gvais. The Talmud Leimar, you don't have to. Why don't you have to? To tell me that really it is a mitzvah, but you don't have to go in search of it, why wouldn't you have to go in search of it? It's a mitzvah. Don't you have to go in search of mitzvahs? If Rosh Hashanah is coming up, do you only blow shofar if you happen to have one? You have to get a shofar. There it says blow shofar, so you have to get a shofar. So if Shiluach HaKein was a real mitzvah, then you would have to be Machzor Acharav Bahar Mubukvais. Maybe not every day, but the Chzainish, he speaks out that it would probably be Gedr of that Havamin would be once in your lifetime. What else would you make it? It's not clear. So he says probably it would be once in your lifetime. But if it was a real mitzvah, then you would have to go in search of it. So if the Gemara says that from the words ki ikari, we learn that you don't have to go in search of it, then what that indicates is that it's not really a mitzvah. So like you said, the whole lumdus, the whole definition of Shluach HaKein changes from that Havamina to that Maskana. Yochel Yachzer Acharav because it's a mitzvah. Tamalami, you don't have to be Machzer Acharav because it's not a mitzvah. There's a very interesting Nesivus HaMishpah. He wrote a sefer on Aruch Chaim called Makar Chaim. And in Siman Tav Lamed Aleph, as in Hilchos Pesach, he asks the Kasha, the background of this Kasha we'll just go through very quickly. He asks the Kasha, why do you have to do Bedikas Chametz? After all, the certain Hakdamis to this Kasha. I mean, the simple reason you would say you have to do Bedikas Chametz because otherwise you might say because you'll otherwise be Oyram by Yerah by Yimatz. That's the Rashi at the beginning of Masechet Pesachim. But the Nesiva says that there are Rishonim that hold that you're only Oyram by Yerah by Yimatz on Chametz that you know about. Chametz that you know about, that you don't know about, Chametz She'ini Yadua, is not an Aver by Yerah by Yimatz. So if that's true, so then the Torah should say, before Pesach, you have to get rid of your chametz. Meaning you have to go to your cabinet, to your pantry, to your freezer, get rid of your chametz. But bedikas chametz, bedika by definition, is for chametz that you don't know about. What you know about, you don't have to go searching for. You're searching under the bed. You don't know that there's chametz under the bed, but there might be. So if it only might be, so then according to this sheet, that chametz she'ini yadua, it doesn't have an aver by Yerah by Yimatzeh. So there's not going to be any by Yerah by Yimatzeh anyway. So what are you doing Bedikas Chametz for? That's the Kashya in the Nesivus. And Nesivus says something very original. He says that the reason why you do Bedikas Chametz is because you have a mitzvah of Tashbisu. There's a mitzvah to destroy the Chametz. And in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, you have to go looking anywhere to see if there's any chametz that you can destroy it. And then the Nesivus speaks out. It says tashpisu, so maybe that means, yeah, if you have any in front of you, you should destroy it. Where do I ever learn, where do you ever see that that means that you have to go searching for chametz to destroy it? Zok the Nesivus, it's a Gemara, chul dafkuf lametas. That which the Gemara had a havamina by Shiluach HaKein, Yochel Yachzer Achrav, Baharam Uvuk Voice, that's a makar to mitzvahs in general. That if the Torah says you have to do something, then it's not enough to do it if you have it. Like we just said before, I'll blow a shayfer if I have one. If the Torah says to do something, that means you have to find a way to do it. That was the havamina by Shiluach HaKein. And even though the Gemara said Tam Olaymar, the Nesivus is learning, that Tam Olaymar means there you don't have to go searching for it because it's not a mitzvah. Like the Chassam Sofer said, why don't you have to go searching for it? Because it's not a mitzvah. But if it's a real mitzvah, then you really have to go searching for it. So therefore, our tashbisu, which is a real mitzvah, you have to search for chametz in order to be able to be mekayem tashbisu.
Wow.
So he uses that Gemara as a makar to this universal principle that mitzvahs have to be searched for. And that means that if we say tam olay miki yikare, that means that you don't have to search for it. That's because it's not really a mitzvah.
Why can't you do the mitzvah? How much you know about it?
Oh, if you have chametz that you know about, then
do the tashbisu on that.
If you have chametz,
good hara.
If you have chametz, why look for more?
Why look for more? You can be
because you got rid of the ones yet.
No, that's the tashbisu.
You do tashbisu what you have.
Why
do
you have? I think you're right. Probably that means I was saying it over a little bit wrong. I didn't see it now. I guess what he would say is that the tashbisu. The more chametz you destroy, the more tashbisu you're being mekayim. So there's a yachzer achrav to be mekayim more tashbisu. That's probably
only on yours.
Yeah. It's only on yours. Right. It's only on yours.
No mitzvah to go search for.
Put out loaves.
Right. So wrapping up. Based on what we said, there does seem to be. I mentioned the Chassam Sofer, the Chazonish also. He writes about it, and he comes to the same conclusion. And the Devar of Rum also, they come to the conclusion that it's really not a mitzvah. The Chavis Yair says that it is a mitzvah, but there seems to be a preponderance, I think, of certainly the Makaris that we found in the Mishainim, and also the Paitzim Arachainim that talk about it, that say that it's not a mitzvah. But all of that, which means, according to that, there's no reason why a person should try to be mekayim like this person that you said came to, you know, to her rav and said, should I do shalach again? The answer might very well have been no. What for? Unless you're hungry, you know, unless you want those afreichim avaitzim. But I just I have to point out that all of that notwithstanding, the fact is that many Gedolei Yisrael have tried to do the mitzvah shalach again. There's a well-known picture of the stipler using a stick or an umbrella or something to do shiluach hakein, and there are. I think I read that.
The Elbert Varsity.
What?
The Elbert Varsity.
That's if you remember, we mentioned the Chazayin Ish. Says that really the Rambam also is made to that, and Avada the Stifle always follows the Chazayin Ish on everything.
I would assume it's the same for a woman as for a man.
Yes, same for a woman and a man.
I think that's a bird.
All the Gedolei Yisrael that went and were Mahader Acharav, apparently they felt that because there's a tzad, that maybe there's such a Shita, there's a Yeshayim, there's a Chavis Yar. And according to the Zohar Kaddish, it certainly would be that way. So you should go, you should try to be mekayim it since there's a chance that it might be something good. But I think that again, the pictures and the stories, notwithstanding, the consensus of Rav Paiskim is that le'ikar, there isn't really a mitzvah to go in search of a shaluch hakein.
What a brechus?
I mean, that's just in search, to go do a shaluch hakein.
Right.